Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here this morning. I want to welcome those that are viewing online as well. Hey, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible is a very, very important verse. It's a verse that I think every follower of Jesus should actually memorize. It's Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. So if you have a Bible with you, you have an app, open it up. Psalm 24, 1. And I would put it on your to-do list to try to memorize that sometime in this next week or two. It will be well worth your while. Before we get into the message, though, I'm going to take a moment and let's pray together. I also want to, before I pray, I want to mention our offering. You know, there are lots of ways that we can give financially to God through the Vineyard, and you probably have them memorized by now. But when we do that, it really does make a difference, and I hope that you're starting out 2020 by trying to do your money God's way. And I know many of you are. Many of you are incredibly faithful and generous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless you whenever you give. And we're going to pray for a moment and ask God's blessing on our offerings whenever we give those to Him. But most importantly, right now, let's try to set aside everything that might distract us. And let's say to God individually, God, would you speak into my heart this morning out of the Bible as we worship you by studying your word? Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back our finances to you, we do pray, God, that you would take the money that we give and you would use it to glorify the name of Jesus. And you would also use it, Lord, to expand your kingdom, God, everywhere around the world. Bless our gifts and bless us, O God, in our faithfulness in giving back to you. And now, Lord, as we look into the Bible and we worship you that way, Lord, I pray that you would speak very clearly into every heart online, every heart in this room, every mind, Lord, that you would say the things that you want to say to them, Lord. Let them hear the things that you want them to hear. And I know for that to happen, God, I need your empowering right now as I deliver this message. And so that's what I ask for, Lord. Would you empower my words? Because we want to hear from you, O Lord, and not me. Have your way, God, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you have ever wrestled with money, sex, or power? Money, sex, or power. Raise your hand and let me remind you that you're in church. You don't want to be lying in church, all right? Money, sex, or power. Now, if you've been tripped up by money or by sex or by power or by all three of those things, what I want to say to you is relax. Relax. You know why? Because that just means that you're human. You know, these three, money, sex, and power, form kind of an unholy trinity that trip up human beings from every walk of life. All spiritual backgrounds, all ages, all races, all educational levels, all socioeconomic levels. I mean, just look at the world these days, right? First of all, the preoccupation with acquiring money is bordering on an all-out obsession. I want to read to you what author Lauren Mead says about this. She says, "We want to have money. We want more money. We envy other people's money, and yet we disdain the rich for having it. We buy lottery tickets and hope to win. We feel envy toward the person who wins millions, and then we're secretly glad when we discover later on how his or her life has gone to pot with all that money. We treat the extremely rich like pop stars and celebrities, but in doing so, we dehumanize them and demean them." And then she says this, "We are all contorted about money." That's pretty true, isn't it? And then there's the whole issue of sex. I mean, sex is used to promote just about everything these days, right? Go to any movie. Remember when we used to go to movies? Go to any movie, stream movies online, whatever. Sex is all over the place. We live in a sex saturated society. And because of that, so many people struggle with sexual issues, sexual addiction, sexual problems, lust, all of that. And then there's power. Power. You know, show me someone who can handle even a moderate amount of power without, you know, it corrupting their values or their character, and I'll show you at least 500 other people who have caved in, at least a little bit, to some sort of pride or control or self-interest. I mean, the truth is, if a person can live 70 or 80 years without a major foul-up in one of these three areas, they are to be congratulated. So, we're going to spend the next several weeks going over and talking about these three issues: money, sex, and power. And today we're going to begin with money. And the primary lesson that I want all of you to take away from here is that whatever we have, whatever we think we own, we really don't. Whatever we have, whatever we think we own, we really don't. The psalmist said it like this. I had you turn to Psalm 24:1. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. You know, this verse just sort of summarizes what I want every one of you to take away from this message. I mean, if we could all just understand who really owns our stuff, who really owns our money, who really owns our material possessions, who really owns our houses or our cars or our kids or our bodies or our careers, if we could all just come away knowing the truth that God owns it all, we would be well on our way to becoming good money managers. Now you might say, "Well, Brian, why do I need to become a good money manager?" Lots and lots of reasons for that. But the main reason is because one day, every single one of us, we are going to be audited by God. We're going to be audited by God. Paul said it like this to the Romans: "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." One day we're going to be audited by God. And one of the areas that God is going to audit us in is how we managed the stuff, the money that God has given us. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, "Come on, Brian, time out. Why in the world are you saying that all of my money, all of my stuff really isn't mine? And it's God. I don't think you understand, Brian. I worked really hard for my money. I went to a university and earned a degree, maybe got a master's or a doctorate degree. And I did that so I could get this particular job, so I could earn this kind of money. It's my money." I totally get that kind of thinking. But if you're thinking that way, I just want to ask you a few questions. I would ask you, first of all, well, who gave you your life in the first place? Well, God did, right? Who is the one who gives you your next breath? God is. Who gave you the talent to be able to earn money? God did. Who gave you the brains to go to that university so you could earn that degree and get that job? God did. Who has protected your life from harm and danger so that you would be able to work for many years and acquire a bunch of stuff? God. God owns it all. Say that out loud. God owns it all. You online, put it in the chat and let's say it one more time. God owns it all. And what God wants from us is that we would just joyfully acknowledge that he really is the owner of all of our stuff. We're just the manager, but he's the owner. You know, a good example of this is the true story about this dad who took his little son to McDonald's to get some French fries. And so they got some fries and went over and sat down. And so the little boy starts to, you know, eat his fries. And as we as parents oftentimes do, we don't have any fries, but we see the fries and we're like, you know, I'm going to reach over and grab one of those fries. So this dad reaches over to grab one of his son's fries. And his son says, no, these are my fries. And it sort of hurt the dad's feelings, felt really bad about it. And so he began thinking about it, and he said to himself, you know, my son doesn't realize where these fries come from. He doesn't realize that 5 minutes ago, I reached into my pocket, I pulled out some money, and I bought these fries. He doesn't understand. I'm actually the source of his fries. And he also doesn't realize that if I wanted to, I could reach over there and take away all of his fries. He wouldn't have any fries. And he also doesn't realize that if I wanted to, I could go up to the counter and I could buy 500 more orders of fries. I could bury him in fries if I wanted to. And he also doesn't understand that I don't need his fries. I could buy my own. But what I needed and what I wanted was his willingness to share what I had previously given him and be thankful for it. That's exactly the way that God is with us. Now, once we understand who the real owner is of all of our stuff, then we read in the Bible that God makes an arrangement with each one of us. God says, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a portion of my universe-wide asset pool, and I'm going to make it available to you. I'm going to give you some stuff to manage. I'm going to give you some stuff to take care of. And there will be varying amounts. Some of you will have a little pile of stuff. Some of you will have a medium-sized pile of stuff. Some of you will have a big pile of stuff. And then God basically says that he's going to give us this stuff based on three conditions. And that's what I want to talk about for the remainder of this morning. First of all, God says, when I give you stuff, here's what I want you to do. I want you to enjoy it, use it, and thank me for it. That's what I want you to do. Paul says it like this to Timothy. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, now underline the last part of this, on God who richly supplies us with all things to what? Enjoy. God supplies us with all things to enjoy. Did you know that God wants you to enjoy the stuff that he gives you? God is the one who created the material world in the first place. Material stuff is God's idea. And God says, I love you. And I love seeing my children enjoy the material possessions that I give them. So when I give you some material goods, when I bless your family with some stuff, I want you to enjoy it. Have fun with it. I just want you to learn to look to me and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But God also says, I also want you to hold on to the stuff that I give you loosely. I don't want you to start thinking it's your stuff. It's not your stuff. So I don't want you to hold on to it tightly. I don't want you to be greedy or stingy. I want you to hold on to it loosely. I want you to be a grateful person and enjoy the blessings that I give you. So the first condition that God says, on the stuff that he gives us is, if I give you some stuff, I want you to enjoy it, and I want you to thank me for it. Second condition that God has about our stuff is God says, then I want you to manage it and maintain it responsibly. Responsibly. You say, well, Brian, how do we do that? How do we manage and maintain money in a responsible way in God's eyes? Well, there are several ways God wants us to do that. First of all, God says, when I give you some finances, I want you to save some of it. God says, I don't want you to blow all your money. I want you to enjoy it, but I don't want you to squander it. I don't want you to end up becoming dependent on other people. So don't live beyond the means that I provide for you. Live well within your means. Look at the way the writer of Proverbs says it in Proverbs 6. He says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. Even though they have no prince, governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer. Why? Gathering food for the winter. God says, be like the ant. Be wise. Save some of your money. Consistently set aside a portion of the money that I bring your way. God says, I want you to create some financial margin in your life. So I don't want you to buy things based on whether or not you think you can make the payment. I want you to have financial margin in your life. So I want you to save some of the money that I bring your way. So here's a question for you. Do you have a plan for saving money? Do you have a plan for 2021 that will increase your savings throughout this year? And why I say, do you have a plan? Because it's not going to just magically happen. You have to have a plan. Then God says, okay, I don't want you to just save some money, but I also want you to invest some of your money. I want you to take some of the money that I bring your way, and I want you to make it work for you. I want you to make it work for you. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable, many of you probably know it, about an owner who gave some money to three guys. He gave one of them what's called 5 talents of money. He gave the other one 2 talents of money, and he gave the third one 1 talent of money. And the first two guys, the one with the 5 and the one with the 2 talents, they invest that money that they were given wisely, and they receive a healthy return, for which Jesus commends them. In fact, Jesus says to both of them in different places in Matthew 25, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Well, the third guy, he takes the 1 talent that he was given and he buries it in the ground. He makes no attempt to make any kind of a return on it to his master. And because of that, he is severely rebuked. His master says to him, you wicked, lazy slave. At least you should have put it in the bank so it would earn interest. So what do we learn from this and many other places in the Bible? What we learn is everything that God gives us, he wants multiplied. Everything that God gives us, he wants multiplied. For example, God gave us our mind. And God tells us in the Bible that he wants us to grow in wisdom. He wants us to get smarter. He wants us to stretch ourselves intellectually. God has given us some spiritual gifts. And God says in the Bible, now that I've given you these gifts, I want you to develop these spiritual gifts. God has given each one of us particular natural talents and natural abilities. God says, I want you to multiply those natural talents and abilities. And then God says, when I throw some resources your way, when I throw some money your way, whether it's a small pile, a medium-sized pile, or a big pile, I want you to save some of it, but I also want you to invest some of it so that it will multiply. So, here's another question for you. Do you have a plan for taking some of the money that God brings your way this year, that God has entrusted to you this year, and putting it into some sort of long-term investment so that it will grow over this year and in the years to come? Do you have a plan for that? And I'm saying a plan again because, again, it's not going to just happen. You have to have a plan. All right, the third way that God tells us he wants us to manage and maintain the resources that he gives our way, brings our way, is he says, I want you to give some of it. I want you to save some of it, invest some of it, and then I want you to give some of it as well. And the Bible says that the minimum amount that followers of Jesus are supposed to give is called the tithe. Now, the tithe literally means 10th part. It's where we get the language 10%. And what God says to us is that he says, I want you to take the first 10% of all the income that I bring your way, and I want you to give it back to me as a worship offering through the local church that you're a part of. Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, why does God want me to give back to him 10% of the income that he brings my way? I mean, is God broke or something? Why does he want me to give back to him? No, that's not it at all. Look at Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. See, that is what tithing does. When I tithe, what I'm saying is, God, you are number one in my life, and here's some evidence of that. You are number one in my finances, therefore you are number one in my life. You, oh God, are the most important person in my life. See, we can say that God is number one in our lives, but if we're not tithing, if we're not putting him first in our finances, those are just words. Look at what God says in Malachi 3, verse 10. He says, bring the whole tithe, that's all 10%. You know, some people say, well, I tithe 3%. No, that's not a tithe. You might give back to God 3%, but you're not tithing. A tithe is 10%. God says, bring the whole tithe, all 10% of it, into the storehouse. The storehouse is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament church that you're a part of. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Why? So that there may be food in my house. God says, I want my house blessed, and the way that I choose to do that is through my faithful followers tithing to their local church. And then he says this, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. God says, I know this is hard for you as human beings. It's hard to let money go, and so I'm going to allow you to test me. In fact, God says, I dare you. Test me in this. I double dog dare you, God says, to test me in this and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I mean, over and over and over, the Bible promises that tithing will set in motion a series of divine blessings in your life. And not just financial blessings. in every way. Physical blessings, relational blessings, emotional blessings, social blessings, and financial blessings. I mean, tithing sort of guarantees supernatural activity in your life by God. Are you tithing? Is God really number one in your life? Just by a quick, you know, testimony. You know, I didn't grow up in the church, never read a page of the Bible, didn't know anything about Jesus or God or anything. I was going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction when I was a senior in college, like 15 years ago now. I was a senior in college, and God got a hold of my life, turned me around, and by His grace, I've been going the other direction, trying to go 100 miles an hour ever since. Well, I started going to a church, never really had been to a church right away, and a brand new believer, you know, 22 years old, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, and the pastor starts teaching about tithing, like I am today. I'd never heard of tithing, didn't know anything about it, but this is what the Bible says. This is what followers of Jesus do. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start tithing. Now, I was on a baseball scholarship. I was going to Grand Canyon University, go Lopes, and I was on a baseball scholarship. And so most of my expenses were already paid, but there are other expenses that you end up having as a college student, you know, didn't have money for. And so the summer before, I had worked. I'm from the state of Washington. My parents are in Washington. And so I had worked the summer before and saved up a bunch of money. And so my parents and I had gone through the money that I'd saved, and we divided it up throughout the school year, and we decided they would send me a check every month for my other expenses. I can still remember it. The check I would get every month from my mom was $340 out of my account. Well, the next time I got the $340 check from my mom, the very first check I wrote was $34. $34 to the church that I was a part of, giving it back to God. Not that long after that, I met my wife, Thora. Thora and I began dating. We got married shortly after that, and we've been married for a long time. And by God's grace, I don't know of one single time in our entire married life that we have not tithed on every bit of income that God has brought our way. And here's my testimony. God has blessed our lives more than I could have ever dreamed of in every single way. He's blessed our relationship. He's blessed us financially. He's blessed us emotionally. He's blessed us with this incredible church, with incredible people like you. He has blessed our lives, and He will do the same thing for you. He really will. All right, so God says, here's how I want you to manage my money. I want you to save some of it. I want you to invest some of it. I want you to give some of it away, tithe. And the fourth way God wants us to use His money is to share some of it with the poor. Not just tithe, but to eventually get to the place where we can share some of God's money with the poor. There are actually three types of giving that God talks about in the Bible. The first type is tithing. That's mandated by God. That's the first 10%, where all followers of Jesus are mandated by God to do that. I know a lot of followers of Jesus pretend it's not a mandate, treat it like it's not a mandate, but it actually is in God's eyes. But then after you finally reach the tithe of giving, God says, now I want you to up the ante. I want you to give some of your money to the poor. And that's called in the Bible almsgiving, giving alms. Now, there's not a set percentage on that. It could be anything, but it's directed to the poor. And then the third way that God talks about giving in the Bible is offerings. Offerings, again, offerings are over and above our tithe, and offerings don't have to be given to the poor. They could be given to any Christ-honoring ministry that you believe God is prompting you to give to. Now, an offering could go to the poor, an offering could go as more to the local church, whatever, but those are the three areas. Now, what happens when we give some money to the poor? Look at Proverbs 19, 17. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord. Underline lends to the Lord. And God will repay him for his good deed. What God is saying here is that any money that you and I give to the poor is registered forever on the ledger sheets of heaven. And God himself will see to it that the man or the woman who does this will be honored with interest. That's what it means to lend to God. God will repay. Guaranteed. Now you might say, well, Brian, how in the world do I give to the poor? I mean, when I drive by somebody on the street corner who has a sign out, you know, wanting donations, is that giving to the poor? Well, yeah, it would be. Maybe not the wisest way to give to the poor unless the Lord is really prompting you to do it. Here's the easiest way. If you don't know how to give to the poor, here's the easiest way to give to the poor. Give money to Vineyard North Phoenix. You know why? Because a portion of every dollar that comes into our church, a portion of it goes toward helping the poor. Could be helping the poor through our food bank that's open 7 days a week. It could be through one of our main outreaches that we do throughout the year, whether it's Single Mom Spa Day, whether it's the back to school outreach, whether it's the Thanksgiving food basket giveaway, whether it's Angel Tree. You know, there are lots of ways that we minister to the poor through this church. God gave me a prophetic word many, many years ago. He said, Brian, if you take care of the poor, I will always take care of you. And he has. We've always cared for the poor in this church, and we always will. And I believe God will always take care of us. Now, if you're in person and you want to give cash or checks to the poor, just put them in. There's offering boxes in the tunnels on your way out. One of them says, remember the poor. Every dollar that comes in for that goes directly to the poor. There are other boxes that say tithes and offerings. That comes to the church. But the remember the poor boxes go directly to the poor. All right, so how do we manage God's money responsibly? We save some of it. We invest some of it. We tithe on some of it. And we give some of it to the poor. And then there's a third condition on our stuff. God says, I also want you to expect a divine audit at the end of your life regarding this. See, one of the things that's going to happen for every one of us is that the books are going to be opened one day, and God is going to audit us in how well we managed the finances that he brought our way. In other words, there's coming a day when God, the true owner of everything, will do a complete review of how each one of us has managed his stuff. So here's another question. Are you ready for that audit? Are you ready? If a divine audit by God were going to happen in your life, let's say this week, let's just pick a day, Thursday. There's going to be a divine audit of how you've managed God's money this week on Thursday. How would you feel about that? Would you feel like you're ready? You know, I think there's some of you in our church who would say something like, man, that'd be great. That would be great if God audited me financially this Thursday. I can't wait to show God how responsibly I've managed his money. You know, I've enjoyed it, I've thanked him for it, I've saved some of it, I've invested some of it, I've tithed, I've given some to the poor. I mean, bring on the audit, I'm ready. And then there's others of you who might say something like, this is not good. This is not good. In fact, you may go to God in prayer and say, God, could I have a little more time? Could I have another year? Well, let's say God agreed to that prayer. And he agreed to not audit you this coming Thursday. He agreed to audit you 1 year from this coming Thursday. That would give all of us a fresh start today, wouldn't it? We would all have a year to prove our faithfulness to God. And so what I'm challenging every single one of us to do is to commit ourselves to a 12-month run of managing money exactly the way that God has told us to manage it. That we would enjoy it, that we would thank Him for it, and beyond that, that we would manage His resources thoughtfully and honorably, where we would save some of it, invest some of it, tithe on some of it, and give some of it to the poor. But I want you to know something about all this. This is going to take a plan. This is going to take a plan. Say it out loud. This is going to take a plan. Turn to the person right next to you and say, this is going to take a plan. Make your eyes real big and say to them, this is going to take a plan. You know why this is going to take a plan? Because I have never known not one single human being who could manage God's money in a God-honoring way without a plan. See, people do not drift into higher levels of good money management. No, people always drift the other direction. We drift into carelessness with our money and overspending and materialism and greed. You have to have a plan. Now, somebody's saying, well, Brian, I've never made a plan like this. I don't know the first thing about how to make a plan like this. If that's you, I have good news. Next weekend, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you a God-honoring plan that you can begin to put in place so that 1 year from this coming Thursday, you'll be able to come before God and God will open the books, and after He's audited you, God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want for every single one of you. So how about it? Are you in? Are you in? Don't miss next weekend. Be here in person. Be online. I'm going to give you a plan. My title is called God's Plan for Managing Money Wisely. That may not be exactly it, but it's something like that. God's plan for managing money wisely. I want to pray for us. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would bring hope to every single person who hasn't been managing your money wisely for whatever reason. I pray that you would infuse their heart with hope, that there really is a way, maybe not immediately, but there really is a way for them one day to be able to be at the place where they're managing all the money that you bring their way in a God-honoring fashion. Give them hope, oh God. Break the power of the enemy that would cause them to feel guilt, to cause them to feel condemned. Lord, fill them with hope. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that if you're speaking into our hearts and minds about one area or another this morning, that you would increase that conviction right now. You know, maybe God is speaking to you about tithing. Maybe He's speaking to you about giving to the poor. Maybe He's speaking to you about investing some of your money. I don't know. But if He's speaking to your heart right now, you need to say yes to Him. Yes, Lord. You know, I think there's some of you that you used to tithe. You used to be obedient to God in that area, and you've gotten away from it for whatever reason, maybe the pandemic or whatever. And God is wanting you to get back to that place. You need to say yes. Yes, Lord. You know, and there are a few of you that God has blessed you with a big pile. And you should be giving back to God and His work way more than just 10%. My wife and I have been giving way, way over 10% for decades. Maybe that's what God is speaking to you about. If that's the case, you need to say, yes, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be ready for the audit whenever that day comes. Lord, I pray for those that are really discouraged about their finances, those that need new jobs, those that need better paying jobs. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that there'd be some miraculous breakthroughs in our church family over the coming days and weeks that you would receive glory for, Lord. And as you bring money our way, Lord, I pray that you would help us to enjoy it and to thank you for it. You know, maybe you'd like somebody to pray for you about your finances before you go. If you're online, just click on the prayer button. But if you're here in the room, we're going to have a prayer team, a ministry team up here at the front. And if you'd like them to pray for you, just come to the front after we dismiss the service, and they would love to do that. They'll pray for you about anything. It doesn't have to be money related, obviously. Whatever prayer request you might have, we would love to pray for you before you go. And then don't forget, next weekend, God's plan on how to manage money wisely. Would you please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for all my friends here in this service as they go this morning. Lord, I pray you would bless each one of them. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, give a wave to somebody on your way out. Say hi in the chat. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. See you soon.